Well, today we are starting a new series in the book of Jonah, a book which we're going to see is all about God's grace and God's compassion and the way God pursues us and comes after us, seeks us and saves us. And you know, it is a wonderful thing when someone pursues you. It could be, you know, the pretty girl, the handsome guy who's giving you the attention. It could be at work and the other firm calls you up. They want you to come in. They're interested in you. They want you. They want to give you a job. It's great when we're pursued. We long to be pursued, to be wanted, for people to take an interest in us, to pursue us. And that is what the book of Jonah is all about. The God who pursues us graciously, compassionately. What is so remarkable about chapter 1 is the sheer lengths that God goes to in pursuit of people. Despite Jonah's disobedience, despite the sailors' complete lack of belief in God, God is gracious with them, compassionate with them, pursues them. That's what it's all about. Now, let's see it from the verses. First, Jonah's disobedience. Because it's a shocking start to the story. Shocking start to this true book from the Bible. Just look at verse 1. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go, God says, to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But, verse 3, Jonah ran away from the Lord. Now, what a start to the book. What a shock. What is Jonah doing? He's a prophet. Prophets don't run from God. Prophets are meant to lead people to God. By the way, we do know that Jonah's a prophet because in 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 25 to 27, it tells us specifically Jonah is a prophet. And if the book of Jonah comes after that account in 2 Kings, then Jonah was quite a mature believer, or at least a successful prophet, that he was used mightily by God. But look at him now, completely disobedient. He doesn't just disobey God's word. He tries to go as far away as possible, away from where God's word wants to send him, to Nineveh. So I've put a map up here on the screen. Now, Gath Hepher, you might can't read that. That's just in the middle there. That's where Jonah's from. And you can see Nineveh to the east. That's where God sends him. But does he go to the east? No. He goes in the opposite direction. He goes down to Joppa to get a boat to head off to Tarshish, in the completely the other direction. It's on the other side of the map. He's trying to get as far away as possible. And so you start this book of the Jonah, you start reading this off. Here's the prophet. What on earth is he doing? And we don't actually get an answer to this question until chapter 4, so you're going to have to wait till then, be patient. But for now, what is clear is that Jonah, he does not want to go to Nineveh. He does not like what God has said to him. And he rejects it, and he runs from it. And he's completely disobedient to God, to his word. And we may think to ourselves, you know, silly old Jonah gets this clear command from the Lord, and there he is running away. But I just wonder how different, you know, we are today. Many people are running from the Lord today. Many people are rejecting God's clear word in the Bible. And, you know, not just outside the church. Let's think about ourselves inside the church, if we've been following Jesus Christ. You know, it is very easy for us to obey God when it fits in with what we think is right. But what about when it doesn't fit in with what is right? What we think is right. You know, how obedient are we then? At home, I love playing with my kids, so I'm very happy to sort of make up their Brio train tracks, very happy to read stories to them. I love playing rough and tumble on the lounge carpet. You know, if my wife says to me, do you mind entertaining the kids for a bit? And I'm, yeah, sure, I love that, I'll do that. If my wife says to me, would you mind emptying the dishwasher? Would you mind taking out the bins? Can you change a nappy? It is amazing how I sort of find myself sort of slinking off to another room. I've got something on, a little bit busy, and I don't want to do it. Very easy to do things when we want to. Very easy to obey God when we want to. What about when we don't? What about when he challenges us? What about when he calls us to do something? It's not just Jonah who's disobedient. We all are. And if we're thinking to ourselves, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, a little bit of disobedience. I mean, we all do it, don't we? From time to time. No. Look at what happens to Jonah in the rest of this chapter. So in verse 5, his sin endangers others because of it, this storm comes up and these sailors are fearing for their lives. Pretty impressive storm. Sailors are fearing it. The effects of sin, they're never private. In verse 9, his sin gets exposed. We get this incredible statement from Jonah in verse 9. I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And the sailors are like, well, why are you running away from him then? On the sea, what are you doing? You say one thing, you're doing another. What a hypocrite. His witness is terrible. Our sin exposes us. Worst of all, verse 12, Jonah faces death. This is my fault. Throw me into the sea. And let's be clear, verse 14, when the sailors are about to throw him into the sea, they clearly think that he is going to die. And this is where sin ultimately leads to. Death. You know, we think that by disobeying God or, you know, we're pursuing something good or something that's going to make us happy or fulfilled and satisfied. It doesn't work like that. Ultimately, all sin, all running away from the Lord, leads to death, leads down. Three times the narrator in the Hebrew uses the word down. Jonah goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the bottom of the ship. He goes down into the sea. Down, down, down. That's where life heads when you run away from the Lord. So don't do it. Don't disobey God's word. Don't run away from the Lord. Don't be like Jonah. And yet the problem is we are like Jonah. We are disobedient. We do run away from the Lord. And that's why it's such great news that God does pursue us and pursue Jonah and shows grace to him and compassion to him. And this is the second thing to see is the Lord's response. The length that God goes to for Jonah. So there's the storm in verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. You know, God could have just let Jonah go, right? Could have just let him go into his sin. But he doesn't. He doesn't give up on him. He's not finished with him. He sends a storm. He stops him in his sin. Then there's the casting of the lots, verse 7. You know, the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. God pinpoints Jonah's sin, puts his finger right on the problem, reveals it, exposes it, convicts him. God has not finished with him. He wants to do a work in him, change his heart. And then there's the huge fish in verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. We said before, he deserves to die for his disobedience. And yet the Lord finds a way to save him. And what a way this is. Now, is it a whale? Well, we don't know. It's a huge fish. It might be. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that God pursues Jonah, comes after him, seeks him, saves him, despite his disobedience. Now, I'm a dad, got 2 kids. A bad dad, bad parent, would let their kids do what they want. If I let my kids have their way, it'd probably be baked beans for every meal. It would probably just be watching TV all day. It would be no school. A fight would probably break out between Theo and Jemima every 10 minutes. It'd be carnage. It would be catastrophe. It would be disaster. You know, a good parent, a loving parent, you know, insists with their children that they do what is best for them, what is right for them. We're struggling to get one of our children to eat greens. It can be quite an effort, sort of pursuing this. No, you can't get down until you eat your greens. No, you can't have any pudding until you eat your greens. No, you can't just have one pea. You need it all. Loving parents pursue their children. Good parents go to great lengths for their children because they want what's best for them. And so it is with God. The storm, the lots, this huge fish, the lengths that God goes to for his children, for his people. And you know what? He even goes to his own death for you. You know this is not the end of the story. 700 years later, the God of Jonah comes to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know one of the things Jesus said whilst he was on earth? Matthew 12:38-41. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish,
So the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, God in human form, come to earth to die for us, to pay for our disobedience, to show his love for us, to show the lengths he goes for us, to move our hearts, to change our hearts, that we'll stop running away from him but come back to him. Do you see that? Do you see how much God loves you? Do you see the lengths he has gone for you? Stop running from him. Come back to him.
Finally, in chapter 1, there's also the sailor's faith. It is amazing in Jonah chapter 1 how all the characters experience God's grace. So in verse 2, there's the city of Nineveh. And God pursues them because he actually wants to send Jonah there. I know he's disobedient, but God wants to send his prophet to them despite their wickedness. God's pursuing Nineveh. God is pursuing Jonah. We've just seen that despite this disobedience in the extreme. God's after him. And now there's these sailors. These sailors, they don't have a care in the world about the God of the Bible. But just look at what happens to them in chapter 1. So we pick them up, first of all, in verse 5. And all the sailors were afraid, and each of them cries out to his own God. There's nothing like sort of a disaster to get you on your knees praying. But this does them no good. Why? Because who are they praying to? They're praying to their own God, a God of their own making. That's no God at all. And the waves get worse. Then in verse 9, Jonah makes his confession. Now I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea, the dry land. Now they're even more scared in verse 10. They're terrified. They've come in contact with the God of the Bible. They're thinking about their sin. They're wanting to do something about it. So they say to Jonah, what shall we do? And Jonah tells them what to do. You know, throw me overboard. But they're hesitant. You know, they try to row back to land in verse 13. They try and save themselves, but they can't because the sea is growing wilder. You can't save yourself. You need to do what God says. So they do what God says, and they throw him overboard. But even as they're saying it, they're saying, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. But they throw him overboard, and what happens? This raging sea grows calm. Now look at verse 16. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. In the original Hebrew, that says they feared fear, they sacrificed sacrifices, they vowed vows. These sailors are now in awe of God. They are in awe of the one true God of the Bible. This God who saved them. You know, at the start of the day, at the start of their day, they had no interest whatsoever in the God of the Bible. And now they are going to know him for all eternity. This is the God of Jonah chapter 1. This is the God who pursues us, pursues you, pursues everyone. Can we see that? No one's left out. God's grace is for everyone, even the wicked like Nineveh, even the disobedient like Jonah, even those who have not given God one moment's thought in their entire life like the sailors. This is who God is. This is how gracious he is, how compassionate he is. Most days I give our two children a bath at the end of the day, and I can't seem to keep the water. I tell them, you know, please, please stop. They're splashing around, they're playing with their toys, they're having a great time, they're getting wet, but no matter what I try, I get wet. If my wife comes in, if you were there, you'd get wet. The water's just going everywhere. You can't keep it out. And this is a picture of God's grace. You can't stop it. You can't limit it. God's grace is for everyone. You know, not just your nice neighbor, but the nasty one. Not just your friendly colleague, but the fussy one. God's grace is for everyone. The disobedient, the wicked, the murderer, the liar, the adulterer. God's grace is for everyone. Now, what do you make of that? Do you believe that? Do you love that? Because God does. That's who he is. The irony of this chapter, actually, let me ask you, who do you think is more faithful? Jonah, the prophet of God, or the sailors, who had no interest in God whatsoever? The sailors. I think you're right. It's very interesting. Jonah does not care about Nineveh. He goes in the opposite direction. He doesn't seem to care about these sailors. He's fast asleep at the bottom of the boat. It is the sailors who care about Jonah. They're really worried about throwing him into the sea. They're the ones who show compassion. They're the ones who understand God's grace better than Jonah himself, better than the prophet of God. And the question is, do we share this same concern? Now, like Jonah, we may have been following God a long time. Like Jonah, we may have been used mightily by God. But do we care
for those outside the church? Do we care for those who don't know Jesus Christ? Because God is pursuing them and he wants us to pursue them, to tell them about Jesus, to tell everyone about Jesus. They need to hear the wicked, the disobedient, the atheist, the agnostic. God calls us to go. The question is, will you? Will you go after them? Just as God has gone after you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for revealing to us from this part of your Bible just how gracious you are and compassionate you are and how you pursue us, pursue everyone, even though we're disobedient, even though we're sinful, even though we don't deserve it. We thank and praise you for sending Jesus to die for us. Please would you warm our hearts afresh with your grace and your compassion to us. That would move us to show the same grace and compassion to others, that when you call us to go, we don't flee, we don't run away, but we go out and preach the good news to this city. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.